Well, folks, welcome back to our Thursday morning devotions from Believe Baptist and from us men who have had the privilege of being able to come share on these morning devotions. And we do count it a privilege to be able just to share with you a few thoughts from God's Word, which we trust and pray have been an encouragement to you. Again, we would like to reiterate, if you are in need of any kind of help, pastoral care, even from a distance, social distancing, we should... And you need a visit, please, please just lift the phone. And we trust that you will find us ready and willing to do what we can to help you. But this morning we're just turning again to Romans chapter 16. And we're going to continue this little theme of this lady who made such an impact upon the church and during the Apostle Paul's day. And we read about her in Romans 16 in verse 1 when Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye receive her, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, for she hath been a succour of many of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Phoebe, you'll remember, as we looked at last week, in fact, this is our second week, is that primarily we looked at her as she was a servant of the church. And what an example, not only to the ladies of our fellowship, but also to us men, that we have, like the Saviour, he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And that is, I guess, in many ways, as a child of God, that is one of our underlying purposes here on earth, that we might serve locally, and then if the Lord pleases to help us and gives us opportunities to serve globally. But we mentioned about a servant, and especially this Phoebe, one of the reasons why she was, dare I say, a servant of the Lord was because there was a day in her life, we don't know when that happened, but there was some time, it's not recorded for us in scripture, but there was a moment in history when her life was transformed, her life was changed. And I guess, folks, to be honest with you, that maybe as you tune in this morning, I don't know if your life has been transformed by the grace of God yet. But thank God the door is still open, and the door of opportunity and the door of grace is still open to you to come and to seek the Lord and to call upon his name. And so we find that a true servant of Christ is someone who has experienced salvation. A true servant of Christ is someone who has become enthusiastic about something. And what they become enthusiastic about is they become enthusiastic about a different kingdom, a different place. They're no longer, their life, and sadly, sometimes Christians don't always portray this, but our goal is not about what we can gain or inherit or build here on earth, but surely our goal ought to be about building treasure in heaven, investing treasure in heaven, where the scripture says where neither moth nor thief can break in to steal. And so here was a lady whose life became, she was enthusiastic about the kingdom of God and about how that through her life God could influence the kingdom. And that's the amazing thing, folks, that God wants to use your life and my life to influence his kingdom. Not that we are by any means special, but you'll remember back a while back I mentioned about how that Caris's domain in the house is the kitchen, and how that the utensils, we are only the utensils, have nothing at all to glory in, but the utensils are the means that maybe used for certain things, but nobody ever thanks the utensils for doing the job that they do. Whether it was the knife for cutting the beef, or whether it was the oven that cooked the beef, or whether it was the tray that held the beef, nobody ever thanks the utensils. And so she was enthusiastic that she would be a utensil for the work of God. Not only was she enthusiastic, but I also believe that she was a great encourager to the Apostle Paul. But this morning, very simply, on this new Thursday morning, we're going to look at the letter R. And what I do believe about this lady, Phoebe, was the fact that she had the right kind of motives in service. Now, it's very possible now to be in the service of God. And I can speak, like, I'll tell you this morning, I speak of someone who has been involved now in Christian work from way back and went off to Bible College 94 to 96, headed out in 96 with a faith mission. And between 96 and the present date, you can count how long that is, But while I'm talking here, my mind can't do two things at once. I'm not like you ladies, able to do two or three things at once. Us men are limited to really one. So I'm limited to the talking, so you can do the counting in your own time. But from 1996 to today, 2020, in some aspect I've been involved in serving the Lord. And I don't say that for, please don't be thinking that I'm sort of anyways gloating about that fact. I'm just stating a fact. Well, I'm going to say this to you. I have come to realize that not always when you do certain things for God or certain things, you've got the right motives. I'm going to tell you very personally. Years ago, I was working up in the Highlands of Scotland, and there was a little Baptist church. I think it was in a place called Thurso. It was one of them towns up there that we were staying in. Well, it was a sink. This was just before I got married. And I am going to be brutally honest here and brutally frank with you. And there was a church there that was, I think it was the Baptist church who'd bought over the Church of Scotland. And I'll be honest with you, my motives were not always pure. And sometimes to this day, my motives are not always pure. They're not always right. And I was thinking, well, you know, I could come and work for the church here, do some practical work. I was getting married a few months later, and I was thinking, if I could just get a lock of pound gathered up, but if I came practically, and then it would help toward my wedding costs. Now, surely, legitimately, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But my motive behind going to do what I was going to do was wrong. Completely wrong. It was the same whenever I was in Bible College. John Matthews, who was then the assistant principal, knew that I came from a joinery workshop background or joinery. Some might think it was a bit of a butcher, but anyway, I like to think I've sort of tidied up my act a bit. I've done away with a hatchet and now got a saw. But John said to me, Nigel, I would like you to build me a wee unit in the back of the library so students could study at. He says, "Aye, sure, no bother, John, I'll do that for you." And so I went away and got the worktop and got the plywood and the jigsaw out and the handsaw out and made shelves and everything else and got about to just set the worktop in. And I had this secret motive, alternative motive. You know, I thought to myself, I was wild chuffed with myself. You know, sometimes we're wild chuffed for ourselves. Don't like to tell anybody, but we're wild chuffed for ourselves. It's that problem of pride we have. Well, boy, I was chuffed with myself. I thought I was the best thing since sliced bread. And I went and I flipped the worktop over before I screwed in, and I got a pencil behind me here, and I wrote the date and I wrote the name in the back corner for one reason, folks, and one reason only. And the reason was, folks, that when years to come, if they ever had to pick that workbench down, they would know who put it there and when they put it there. And my motives were far from right. Now here I am, a young man preparing to go into Christian work with wrong motives. And so I realise, folks, that, dare I say, even in Christian service sometimes, our motives can be wrong. But for Phoebe, I believe her motives were pure and right. Pure and right. You know, it's no surprise to us that people have got alternative motives, because we find it in scriptures. If you go to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 20 and 20, verse 20, 21, you read about Mary, the mother of Zebedee, that's John and James. And she brings these two sons of hers before the Lord, and because they believe that the Lord's going to build a kingdom here on earth. And she has got alternative motives, and they have alternative motives, James and John, because one wants to be in the right hand and the other wants to be in the left. Now the Bible says, in fact, in John 20, it tells us these words. It says, and they came to Jesus, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing. And so they came externally. On an outward, it would seem there was real humility. There was real desire to worship. But internally, their motives were wrong. Lord, says the Muller, what about James John? Could one sit in your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom? Why did they want to be right and the left? Dare I say it, because they wanted to be seen. And isn't it funny, folks, how that as we look back over these past few weeks and months of these wee devotions, that one thing that constantly keeps popping up again is humility. 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 He must increase and I must decrease. But the old flesh would constantly be at us, folks, as to try and to, we must increase. We need to be seen. Tell me this. God willing, not be long, hopefully, before his oversight has been meeting together and discussing when we're going to get back to church and all the activities get up back up and going again. And we don't know exactly when that's going to be. But I wonder, folks, when we get back, what will be our motives for serving? What will be our motives for going to church on Sunday? What will be my motive for not going to church on Sunday? What will be my motive for being involved, whether it be in the Sunday school, the Good News Club, the Youth Club, the Bible class, the ladies' meeting, the men's fellowship, the Bible study? What is my underlying motive for either being there or doing something? Is it merely just, dare I say it, as Pastor Lawrence finishes out his last number of weeks, and we want to leave a really good impression with him? Or dare I say it, when our new pastor, Pastor Anderson, comes and takes up the role as a pastor, do we want to try and impress him? Is it that we might be able to say, well, I've done my wee bit for the kingdom of God? Or dare I say it, is it about maybe seeking a wee bit of limelight for me? Or is it, folks, primarily, that I'm going to do what I'm going to do for the glory of God? Listen, the old hymn, do you remember Fanny Crosby when she wrote those great words, "To God be the glory"? Great things he had done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the floodgates that all may go in. Paul writes in Corinthians these words, "For ye see your brethren, calling brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Verse 29, 1 Corinthians 1, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." Adam Clarke says, "God does his mighty works in such a way as proves that though he may condescend to employ men as instruments, yet they have no part in the energy by which such works are performed." Folks, God help us to have motives that are pure and right in our service for the kingdom. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, help us today. Realize that lockdown has been greatly lifted, even though there's still a certain amount of restrictions, but Lord, encourage us. Thank you for reminding us today that our motives need to be right. And thank you for people in the scriptures, individuals in the scriptures, who had pure motives in their service. And Father, if in the past we fail you in this area, and if we're tempted to fail you in the future, remind us of this great verse of scripture, that no flesh ought to glory in his presence, should glory. Remind us of this great truth. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, the Lord bless you. As per usual, I've gone on too long, but if you've listened the whole way through, thank you for your patience, and God bless you.